Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Hurricane season 2024 is officially here, and insurers are bracing for what could be a very active season in the North Atlantic. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best Audio, and we're speaking today to Dan Ward. He's an atmospheric scientist and director of model development at Karen Clark & Company. Dan, welcome. It's great to see you. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you very much for having me.
Dan, is there any correlation between global warming and hurricane activity, either from a frequency or severity standpoint, or perhaps even both?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's actually important to separate the severity and frequency when we're talking about connections between climate change and hurricane activity. So the current scientific consensus is that with warming temperatures globally, we are seeing an increase in the intensity of hurricanes. So we're seeing more of the intense hurricanes than we would see in an otherwise cooler climate. When it comes to frequency, however, it's a different story. There's a lot more uncertainty and less confidence in projections of hurricane frequency in a warming climate. And the reason is because there's a lot of different factors that can contribute to the number of hurricanes that we would see in a warming climate. Severity, on the other hand, is very tightly connected to the warmth of the ocean. And we know that the oceans are warming, so we can make that connection. Frequency, a lot more complicated. And so there's less confidence in any trend increasing or decreasing in frequency.
Is it fair to say we've been seeing more storm surge in recent years? And if so, what's driving that?
Yes. So in terms of storm surge, here's where we have a really robust connection to climate change. So in addition to more intense storms, which can lead to higher peak storm surge in hurricanes, we also have the component of sea level rise. So sea levels have been observed to be rising with warming temperatures. There's two main contributors to this. The one that everybody thinks of course, is the melting of the ice caps. So any ice that's on land, like in Greenland or in Antarctica, as the temperature's warm, it melts and it just goes directly to contribute to oceans rising. Another less talked about contributor to sea level rise is that as the oceans warm, they actually expand a little bit. Warmer water actually takes up a little more space. And so that also contributes to the rising sea levels. And the very straightforward connection to storm surge impacts is that the higher your sea level, the higher your storm surge is going to be.
And what about secondary perils? What are we seeing there? Are they becoming more frequent? What's driving that? And what impact are they having on the insurance industry?
Yeah. So with atmospheric perils and the connection to climate change, everyone is different. So they all respond a little bit differently to climate change. And so when we model these impacts and we study these atmospheric perils, we do model and study them separately. So I can go through a few of them. One particular secondary peril that's been on the top of everybody's mind is wildfires in the U.S., particularly in the western U.S. And here is a case where we have a very strong connection to climate change and warming temperatures. As temperatures warm, and particularly in arid and semi-arid climates like the western United States, the atmosphere dries as well as warms. And this leads to drying of the vegetation in these areas. And you can also read vegetation as fuel for wildfires. So warmer temperatures, drier fuels, and more wildfires. And we see this effect in observations as well as in modeling studies. So we do expect more wildfires in the future due to climate change. Another secondary peril that on an annual basis leads to much more insured losses than wildfires is severe convective storms. And this impacts the entire country. And there's also been a lot of talk about SCS, as we call it, and its connection to climate change. And here is another case, kind of like the hurricane frequency, where there's a lot of different ingredients that go into this, and it complicates the picture and leads to much more uncertainty surrounding this particular peril. To go back to wildfire for a second, we can connect that very tightly to this drying of the atmosphere. It's a very strong relationship, and that gives us much more confidence in that connection. SCS, the severe convective storms, they are connected to the what we call vertical wind shear in the atmosphere, changes in wind speed and direction with height, but also the stability of the atmosphere. What's the temperature profile of the atmosphere? What's the humidity in the atmosphere? All of these different factors can contribute to SCS, and they are changing differently in response to climate change. And that creates a very complicated picture where There's changes in seasonality and the geography of this peril that are highly complicated, still being studied and difficult to model. There is a lot of work being done on this, and there's a couple of more robust conclusions that have been reached recently. We do think we're seeing a shift in tornado activity away from the classic tornado alley, the Great Plains, center of the country, you know, Kansas, and Oklahoma, and those places, and more toward Dixie Alley, so-called Dixie Alley, which is more in the southeast U.S., more Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi. And this has to do with changes in the temperature of the Gulf of Mexico and how that impacts all these different factors. So complicated picture with SCS.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
How are the models evolving as hurricanes themselves seem to be evolving, and can the models keep up?
The models can keep up, and here at Karen Clark and Company, we make it a very high priority to ensure that our models are keeping up, and there are absolutely ways to do this. You bring in the current science on all of these topics, and what we do is we ensure that our models are accounting for any past trends due to climate change. So for hurricanes, we perform an analysis on global hurricane data, and we incorporate this shift toward more intense storms into our model to give an accurate picture of the risk from hurricanes today in today's warmer climate. And for other perils like the SCS we just talked about, I just explained how it's so complex that it's hard to understand the connection to climate change. So for that particular peril, here at KCC, we built what's called a physics-based model, which incorporates events as they occur. And so we build this model on events from from the recent history. And so we can be assured that even if scientists don't really understand what the connections are yet, those connections are built into our model and built into our view of the present day risk. So we absolutely think that this is incredibly important to ensure that models are reflective of the present day.
And how are insurers reacting to all of this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think there's understandably a lot of questions about climate change and how this is impacting the insurance market, because we do see a lot of catastrophes in recent years. And the difficult part about, the challenge is to quantify exactly how much climate change is contributing to increases in losses, because it's really just one of a lot of different factors. There's changes in exposure, changes in construction costs, and all these different factors can lead to increases in insured losses. What I see our role to be as catastrophe models, and coming from the atmospheric science side of this, is really to quantify that climate change contribution. How much of that increase is due to climate change? And when we can quantify that, and we can bring some knowledge and understanding of what that contribution is, then I think that leads to more confidence that insurers can say, okay, we understand what the trends are, and then we can plan for that. And I think that just brings a little bit more confidence.
We've increasingly been hearing about some insurers pulling out of states like Florida and Louisiana. What could that mean for what is expected to be a very active hurricane season?
Yeah, well, I think, again, this goes back to really understanding the risk and having confidence in your understanding of the risk. And I think that's really where the catastrophe models can come in. And again, if insurers are using a model that accounts for the impacts of climate change, then I think that they can be more confident about what the risk in any given year is, whether it's expected to be active, an active season or not.
What is your outlook for the 2024 hurricane season?
Yeah. So as we've been talking about it, it is expected to be an active season. All the seasonal forecasts that have been released to date are in agreement that it is expected to be above average in terms of activity. The Colorado State University seasonal forecast actually is expecting the largest number of hurricanes that they've ever predicted, with 11 for the season. And this is really because of two main factors. One factor is that the ocean temperatures, the ocean heat content in the Atlantic, particularly in the main development region, which is where we expect most of the major hurricanes to develop during a typical season, the ocean temperatures in that area are historically warm right now. It's got a lot of people's attention because where we are right now, we're in late spring, and the temperatures are about what we expect to see on average in early August, which is actually getting close to the peak of hurricane season. So the temperatures are already incredibly warm. So that's one factor. Hurricanes love that warm water. They need warm water in order to form and intensify. So that will tend to lead to a more active season. The other main factor is that projections indicate that we are transitioning into a La Nina later this summer and into the fall. And La Nina is also, good for hurricane formation in the Atlantic Ocean, because it tends to reduce what's called this vertical wind shear, which can disrupt a hurricane circulation. So hurricanes, you can picture them in a satellite view. They're very, very symmetrical. They want that symmetry, and any changes in the large scale winds with height tend to disrupt that symmetry and can reduce hurricane activity. So La Nina leads to a reduction in vertical wind shear, which again would enhance a hurricane activity on average. So those are the two main reasons why we expect to see an active season in the Atlantic with regard to hurricanes this year.
Dan, this has been so informative, and thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure.
That was Dan Ward, an atmospheric scientist and director of model development at Karen Clark & Company. For AM Best Audio, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.